We'll read all 10 verses. The Bible says in verse 1 of 1 John chapter 1, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. Truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full." Now I know that you think that's not possible for a believer, but it is. "That your joy may be full." God's Word said, and John is writing here as if this is one of the main purposes for which he penned down these five chapters known to us as the first epistle of John. He said, "These things write we unto you that your joy may be full." So if you need joy tonight, if you need full joy, my friend, then you need to read 1 John chapter, the five chapters of 1 John. Because he's letting us know that in this book is given the recipe for joy. Verse number 5, This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. Well, I don't hardly see how we can stop right there. Because the first two verses of chapter 2 is definitely in context with chapter 1. "My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And He is," not was, "but He is the propitiation," not a propitiation, as if one of many, "but the propitiation, the only one of its kind." Amen. "And He is the propitiation." That big word just means satisfaction. "He is my satisfaction." Now, could I just pause right here and say this, that if Jesus Christ is qualified to satisfy God, if He is qualified to satisfy the cry of a broken law, I want to say He is qualified to satisfy you. Amen. Oh yes, the world with all of its riches can never satisfy you. It's been trying for 6,000 years and is yet to succeed in satisfying the first individual. Amen. Amen. Everybody on planet Earth, many have went after every dream the world has laid out, only to live with disappointment and dissatisfaction. But Jesus is the propitiation. He is the satisfaction of God's demand for a broken law. He satisfied God. That's why I'm not going to hell tonight. It's because God's righteous demands have been met and He is satisfied. Thank God. Amen. Never in the, I don't know why I'm right there. I won't know, that's not the message. I was aiming to read. Just read it. But all through the Old Testament, God never was satisfied. Lambs were offered. Turtle doves offered. Goats and calves offered. Sacrifice year after year. Now I'll tell you, it's never satisfied. Atonement, just rolling it over to the next year. But oh, when Jesus Christ stepped on the scene, John said, "Behold the Lamb of God." I like this next word, "which taketh away the sins of the world." Amen. Not atone, roll it over for another lamb to die, for a calf, for a goat. But thank God, Jesus Christ paid the final and finished and forever sacrifice for our sin. Amen. The Bible said in Hebrews 9:12, "Neither by the blood of goats and of calves, but by His own blood He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us." Amen. Amen. So I just thought I'd tell you, young people, what the world cannot do, because it is not capable of doing, God can do. And that is satisfy your soul. Give you peace and satisfaction and contentment on the inside. Amen. Well, I just wanted to read that. Amen. "For He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world." I'm interested in the word that appears four times in this chapter, and that is the word fellowship. I believe that it's probably the most important spiritual subject in your life as a believer. Now, it is not the most important thing for you as an unsaved person, as an unbeliever. Fellowship is not your main need. Relationship is your main need. Amen. You can't have fellowship with God because you don't know God. Amen. It don't matter how hard you try, you cannot know God. You can know about Him mentally. You can know about Him intellectually. You can know about Him from an information standpoint, knowing some of the facts of the Bible about Him. But you can't know Him experientially. You cannot know Him because you don't know Him. Amen. Your need as a lost person, your need as an unbeliever, is not fellowship with God, but a relationship with God. He must be your heavenly Father, and you His child by birth before fellowship can even be possible. Amen. So I'm talking about fellowship. Fellowship. Verse 3, twice the word fellowship is used in verse number 3. And then it's used again in, let's see, down in verse 6, if we say that we have fellowship with Him. And then again in verse number 7, if we walk in the light as His of the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Three out of the four times that this word fellowship is used in chapter number 1, is speaking of a vertical relationship or fellowship. The only time that it's spoken of as a horizontal fellowship is the first time that it's used in verse 3. "And ye also may have fellowship with us." Amen. Paul, John said you can have fellowship with us, but here's the truth. I know I said three out of the four is a vertical fellowship. But after reading it, and God just opened my eyes to it, really all four times it's talking about a vertical fellowship. Even this first time when John said there in verse number 3, "That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us." How do we know that's talking about a vertical fellowship? Because of the next statement. "And truly our fellowship is with the Father." John said, "You can have fellowship with us, but we want you to know if you're going to have fellowship with us, is with the Father. Amen. Amen. Boy, I like that, don't you? So I'm interested tonight in fellowship, and I believe that it's probably the most crucial subject we can deal with about God's people. There is a warfare going on in every believer's life over the subject of fellowship. Whether you're going to be in fellowship or not. I believe that the devil desires earnestly to get you as a child of God out of fellowship with God. I believe that. I believe that's his goal. I believe that's his ambition. I believe that's his tactics. That's his desire. That's his design. If he can achieve that, he will be satisfied. But you know what's the truth of the Scripture? He cannot touch your relationship. Your relationship is out of touch. Amen. It is out of reach. I like that, don't you? Amen. He can do a lot. The devil can do a lot, but he cannot touch my relationship. Amen. That's right, because he had nothing to do with it. Amen. It's a birth relationship. I have my Father as my Father, my Heavenly Father, because I've been born again. I've been born from above. Amen. Amen. So my relationship was out of reach. By the way, it's out of reach of me too. Amen. Because I had nothing to do with it. Amen. That's right. But my fellowship is a whole other subject. It's a whole other story. You think about the two terms, fellowship and relationship. I jotted this down. Relationship speaks of God's initiative. Fellowship speaks of our initiative. Relationship is unconditional. Fellowship is conditional. Relationship speaks of my position as a son, as a child of God. But fellowship speaks of my practice. Amen? Speaks of my practice. Relationship speaks of what God has done for me. Fellowship speaks of what I do for God. This one I like. Relationship speaks of my salvation. My salvation tonight is not based on my fellowship, or I'd probably never make it. My salvation tonight, brother and sister, does not depend upon my fellowship and upon my practice and upon my do-goods and none of that. Amen. Oh, my salvation depends on my relationship. And my relationship was born. Amen. I was birthed into this relationship. But now my fellowship deals with a whole different subject. My salvation is my relationship. My spirituality is my fellowship. Are you listening? Amen. And there's other ways you can look at those two and some things you could say about that. There's a lot stated in the Word of God about fellowship. Can I just mention some things quickly? But if we don't get to it tonight and finish it, we'll hook up another time if the Lord leads. But I'm interested in making these statements the Lord gave to me even today. First, I've already mentioned that it's the chief goal and purpose of the enemy, the desired attack of the enemy. You or I, either one, are no threat at all to the devil if we're out of fellowship with God. Are you listening? Power does not come through a relationship. A lot of people are saved but have no power with God because they have no fellowship with God. Power, anointing, usefulness comes through fellowship with God. Are you listening? Amen. A lot of people know God as their Father, but they're not walking with God, they're not intimate with God, and therefore they have no power with the Lord. Amen. Let me say this, number two, just in passing, just some general statements the Lord gave to me today. It is the chief goal, listen, fellowship is the chief goal for which God created you for. Did you get that? Fellowship with God is the chief purpose for which God created you for. God created Adam and Eve, put them in the garden, and oftentimes He would come into the garden in the cool of the day to have fellowship with Adam and Eve. The ultimate goal for which God created you, your existence, is so that He can have fellowship with you. I want you to listen to something. Listen to this. After the fall, in Exodus chapter 25, this is, of course, a passage dealing with the tabernacle in the wilderness. You ever wonder why God ordered Moses to build the tabernacle in the wilderness? Here's the reason. Verse number 8 of Exodus 25, "And let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them." God, who could have stayed and lived in heaven, had all the cherubims and seraphims and the angelic host around Him endlessly praising Him. He chose and designed for a tabernacle to be built so that He could have a habitat with man. He wants to fellowship with us. I can't get a hold of that. I can understand me wanting to fellowship with Him. I can't get a hold of Him wanting to fellowship with little old us. Amen. God said, that's the purpose for which I want that tabernacle built, is that I can dwell among you. Amen. God said, I like being where you are. I want to go with you. Amen. And that was the same thing true after the tabernacle played out and it went on into the temples. Solomon's temple and Zerubbabel's temple. Right on through, it's that same message. God wanting a house that He can live in and be with man. And then in the New Testament, God moved out of the buildings. God moved out of the tents and tabernacles. And God moved into a body through the womb of a virgin. God manifest in the flesh. God tabernacled in the flesh. God dwelling in the flesh, amen, in the body of Jesus. Why? Same purpose. So that He could come and dwell among men. And more importantly that, than just coming and dwelling, He stepped into a body, my friend, so He could be the one that would reconcile man unto God in the person of Jesus Christ. Inside the body of Jesus was God. That I'm talking about God. Deity. That enabled Him with one hand to reach and get a holy God. Amen. But inside the body was also a human being. God become a man. And inside the body, Jesus being 100% man and 100% God, enabled Him with one hand to hold on to God and reach out and get a hold of man and reconcile us together in His body. Hallelujah. God moved from the tabernacle into the temples, and then He moved into the body of Jesus. 33.5 years. Fellowshipping with man. In fact, the scripture I read to you, John's given testimony of those days that he saw Him and handled Him and heard Him. Amen. We'll deal with that in a minute. But then, after Jesus was crucified and was buried and rose again, my friend, He ascended back to glory. Are you listening? Ascended back to glory. What did He say then? I'm going to send the Comforter. I'm going to send another Comforter. So He went from the tabernacle, went through the temples, went into the body of Jesus, and then went from the body of Jesus into another body. When the Spirit came, the Holy Spirit came, He didn't move into a temple. He didn't move into a tabernacle. He moved into a body, yours. Hallelujah. You say, oh, wouldn't it have been wonderful to have been in that temple? That temple. Walked into the Holy of Holies and had intimate fellowship with God. Wouldn't it have been wonderful? But only the priest could go in. Nobody but just the priest could go in.
But guess what? You in the New Testament economy. You in the New Testament economy. Post-resurrection. Guess what? We have inside of us God. The same God that was in the temple, a tabernacle, behind the veil, is inside of me. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, you say, what's He doing in there? What's His purpose? Fellowship. Fellowship. God is saying, I want a fellowship with you. And He's in me. He's in me. And everywhere I go, there's God. And I'm in fellowship with Him. I don't have to be in any particular place to pray. Amen. Fellowship with Him because He's inside. One of these days, though, we got another move to make. God went from the garden. God moved into the tabernacle. Then God moved into the temples. And then God moved into the body of Jesus. And then now God, through the Holy Spirit, lives in His church, the body of believers, in each believer. Sealed there until the day of redemption. But guess what? One more move. God's going to make one more. There's one more. Hey, a big one. The biggest one yet to come. And I'll tell you what that is. One day God is going to say to His Son, bride's complete. Go get them. Go get them. Jesus is going to come. He's not going to hesitate. He's going to step out on the silver-lined clouds of glory. He's going to say, come up hither. And all of God's children are going to the house, praise God. And you know what's going to happen forever and forever and forever and forever. Worship, fellowship with God. Amen. Right now, fellowship is limited. Right now, fellowship is hampered and hindered by the flesh, by our weaknesses, by our wickedness. But one of these days, thank God, we're going to drop this old robe of flesh. We're going to lay it aside. And we're going to take flight to worlds unknown in a new, fresh, glorified body, fashioned like unto His glorious body. Guess what? No hindrances. No limitations. No world. No devil. Perfect fellowship. Endlessly. Forever. And forever. But you know that won't bless you too much. Because you can't get excited about future fellowship if you can't get excited about fellowshipping with God now. What, listen, no doubt, probably, if not the greatest privilege of being saved. If it's not the greatest privilege, it's got to be up there in rank one or two. And that is to have the privilege of fellowshipping with God. Having fellowship with God. Amen. Oh, I like it, don't you? It's the ultimate purpose for which God created you. I like this. Won't you listen to this? Lord, give this to me today. Did you know God cannot have fellowship with angels? Son, Lord, give me this today. I about tore the car down. Alicia was in Walmart being spiritual, and I was in the car being more spiritual. God spoke to my heart, He cannot have fellowship with angels. He cannot have fellowship with cherubims and seraphims. He can only have fellowship with somebody that bears His image. Angels do not have His image. Seraphims do not have His image. Cherubims do not have His image. Only man has His image. God created man in His own image. And it was with man that God desired to have fellowship. That God has designed to have fellowship. Are you listening? Angels can praise Him. Angels can praise Him. Cherubims can praise Him. They can fly about the throne constantly. Holy, holy, holy. Lord God Almighty. But God can't have fellowship with them because there's no commonness there. To have fellowship, you've got to have something in common. Hallelujah. Woo! Glory to God. Amen. I can have fellowship. Don't feel envious of angels. Oh, I'd like to be an angel. Not me. Not me. Because an angel can never have fellowship with God. Amen. But I can because I have been created in His image. Now watch this right here. I'm going to say I'm not going to get done. That's all right. Boy, this is good. Amen. Hallelujah. When God created Adam in the garden in His image, that image was perfect. And God had sweet fellowship with Adam and Eve. But when sin came into the picture and man fell, guess what happened? The image was marred. The devil fought Adam and Eve and attacked Adam and Eve because he was wanting to get back at God. And so when he came, was cast out of heaven and came into the garden there, guess what he attacked? He didn't attack the trees. He didn't attack, my friend, the animal kingdom. He attacked Adam and Eve. Why? There was the image of God. And he's always been wanting to get back at God. Now watch this right here. But when Adam and Eve fell, that image was marred. Devil don't fight lost people. There's no resemblance. There's nothing there to represent God. Amen? They're not in His image anymore. Amen? It's been marred. But you know what? In Colossians chapter... Listen, the Bible tells us in Colossians that when you get saved, guess what happens? Let me skip to you. Oh, glory to God. It's good. Man, it's good. Look right here if I can find it. I believe Colossians is still in my Bible. Colossians chapter number 3. Let's just read verse 8, 9, and 10. But now ye also put off these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of Him that created him. So if the image went through that perfect stage into the fallen, marred stage, that when you get saved, that image is restored and renewed back in you. That's why the devil starts attacking you again. But that's why you can have fellowship with God after you get saved. Lost people cannot have fellowship with God because they have nothing in common. God's people, the only ones on planet Earth, my friend, actually, that can have fellowship with God because we've got something in common with Him. Could I mention some? We have a common life. Amen. When the Bible says, "And I give unto them eternal life," that is God's very own life. So I can have fellowship with God because I have His life. You know what? Why else I can have fellowship with God? I've already covered it. I've got His image. Can I mention a third thing? I can have fellowship with God not only because, Brother Jeremy, I have His life. He that hath the Son hath life. Right. Amen. When you get saved, you've been begotten again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. You have His life. Amen. You have His life. Listen. You have His image. You have His spirit. Right. Right. Angels don't have the Spirit of God in them. But we do. We that are saved, my friend, are indwelt by the Holy Spirit, God's Spirit. And His Spirit bears witness with my spirit that I am a child of God. I tell you what else I've got. I've got His nature. Are you listening? In fact, let me just give you this real quick. In fact, right here in 2 Peter,
Let me give this to you right quick. The same word that is used for fellowship in 1 John 1, right here in 2 Peter 1 in verse 4, the word is used here, whereby are given unto us exceeding and precious promises, that by these ye might be, here's our word that's translated fellowship in 1 John 1, here it is, that ye might be partakers of His divine nature. You can look up that word divine nature in Acts 17:29, and that word divine nature is translated Godhead. I have within me the nature of the Godhead. That's why you and I, saved people, can get along with God. It's because we have things in common with God. We're partakers with God. Amen. We have His nature. We have His life. We have His spirit. We have His, amen, His image. And we have His Son. Hallelujah. Amen. We have His Son, Jesus Christ the righteous. Amen. And I can have fellowship with God. Amen. Well, that about blessed me today. Could I mention this one as well? That fellowship is the only realm of true joy and peace. You can be saved and be miserable. Have we not all been there? You can be saved. I'm talking about name recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life, indwelt by the Holy Spirit, heaven bound, and be miserable. Why? Because joy does not, joy, listen, amen. Joy does not come through the birth. That's all relationship stuff. Joy comes through fellowship. My relationship, brother, you talked about roller coastering. You know, well, we can all relate to that. Can we not say amen? I mean, it seems like we're up and down, up and down, up and down, up and down. But that's all fellowship. Relationship? Amen. It's never up or down. It's consistent because my relationship hangs on and depends on an unchangeable God. Amen. We're living in a changeable world. Times are changing. Amen. People are changing. America, God help us, is changing. But guess what? God never changes. He said in Malachi 3:6, I am God. I change not. Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. My relationship is what I'm going to heaven on. And it's forever the same because it hinges 100% on God. But my fellowship many times is like this because I've got my hands on that. I've got my hands on that. Amen. A church can be filled with saved folk and be dead. A church can be filled with saved folk, amen, and be dry and be defeated. But I tell you, you get a church that's got people in there that's interested in fellowship with God, loving on God, walking with God, having fellowship with God, talking with God, hearing His voice, being led by His hand, and that'll be a church that's got the power of God in it, amen. 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 Churches are dying everywhere. You know, we're dead. Listen, oh Lord, help us, Jesus. We're down out in the river, might as well splash around a little bit. Amen. Death is not of the Spirit. Because the Spirit is eternal. The Spirit can't die. Death is hooked up with sin. There's no sin in the Spirit. So there's no death in the Spirit. That part of me that's born of the Spirit cannot die. Because it cannot sin. Oh. So if we just, I know that's deep right there. But if we come in here anytime, amen, and it's dead, guess what? That deadness didn't come through the spiritual. That deadness came through our flesh, through the physical. It came through the fellowship side.
Amen. Amen. Oh, listen. My birth hooks me up with a relationship that gives me the potential of knowing God. But my fellowship, my friend, is where the practical comes in. Oh, mercy. You say, preacher, I'm dead. I'm drying up. Guess what that is? That's not your valley. Well, preacher, I'm drying up. I'm just dying. I'm drying up on the stalk, preacher. Guess what? That's not your giant. That's not your enemies. That's not your husband. It's not your children. It's not your wife. It's not your job. I know. And it's not the government. If you're drying up, it's you. Amen. Brother, listen. Listen, fellowship cannot be stopped by fire. Oh! Can y'all say amen right there? Fellowship cannot be stopped by fire. You say, preacher, I'm going through a fiery time. Oh, the fire's burning hot in my life, preacher. Oh, preacher, fire, call the fire department. Fire can't stop fellowship. In fact, fire enhances it. Do we not have a Bible example of that? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego threatened with fire, heated up 7 times hotter than it's ever been. Are you listening? And guess what? That fire freed them. Fire can't burn fellowship. Fire can't stop fellowship. Read through the book of Acts. Read the Fox's Book of Martyrs. My friend, read about many of our forefathers that were burned at the stake. My friend, that was fed to the lions, that was killed and eat up by wild beasts. And my friend, all those horrible, horrendous things. And I'll tell you, friend, they had fellowship with God. Amen. Many of them went out with a song. Two men was in a cell. They were both going to be burned at the stake, and they was fussing over which one's going to get to go first. It's in the Fox's Book of Martyrs. I can't remember their name. What name did he use this tonight? And finally, they decided which one was going to go first. And the second one said to the first one, said if you, when you get in the fire and it's sweet, said, raise that hand as a testimony. And said, I'll be watching from the cell window. As the flames engulfed his body, my friend, that you couldn't hardly see him. Guess what? The testimony of Fox's Book of Martyrs said out from the flame, come an old bony hand, amen, as a testimony. Though I'm in the fire, it's still sweet. You know why? Fellowship cannot be burnt with fire. Fellowship can destroy the body. Fire can destroy the body. But fire cannot destroy the spirit, because the spirit is eternal. Amen. We don't know. We don't know what we're going to be faced with in the days to come. We don't know but what we're going to see. And I believe it's possible. The trend and direction of our country. We could very well see days of imprisonment. And we could see days, my friend, of persecution again on a national level against God's people. Are you listening? It's pretty much a crime already to be a Christian. Who would have ever thought it in the land of the free and the home of the brave? Who would have ever thought it underneath the flag of the red, white, and blue? Who would have ever thought it? I was heard on the radio today. I don't mean to get on this. It makes my blood pressure go up. I heard on the radio today, and I didn't get the details of it, but they was talking about some family had been putting up a nativity scene for since back in 1950-something in this particular spot, and all of a sudden, it's being attacked. The highway department and everything is attacking it, saying that it's a religious symbol. So? So? Why don't you go right on down the road? I don't even remember where this place was at, but I guarantee you could go back down the road any direction and look at some stinking billboard. It's got a half-naked woman on it. Amen? Nobody said nothing about that. Amen. Nobody's crying wolf, amen, when the Budweiser commercials are all over the billboards, amen. Nobody's saying nothing about that, but they're barking up about a nativity scene. I tell you what, friend, if God's people don't start speaking up and standing up, my friend, we're going to get run over, we're going to get pushed in a closet, and our country is going to go the rest of the way to the dogs.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, I don't know how I got on that, but I know fellowship cannot be destroyed by fire. Men cannot stop fellowship. Men can't stop. Threats can't stop. Persecution can't stop fellowship, Brother Stallard. Somebody could put a gun between your eyes and say, I'll kill you if you have fellowship with God. And in your heart, you can be loving on the Lamb. And they're looking right down that barrel and having love with, making love with Jesus and telling you to love Him and worshiping and praising Him right in the recesses of your heart. Because fellowship with God is not physical. Amen. It's in your heart. It's inside. Amen. What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. I like it, don't you? Amen. Well, praise the Lord. A lot we could say. I've already preached my goodness, we've been having a good time tonight. I may just have to unhook. I'm telling you, this whole chapter right here is dripping, saturated with truths about our fellowship with God. I believe it's the number one need. Let me say this. Fellowship with God. Now I want you to get this. Now I'm not just rambling. I'm not just throwing out idle words. Your fellowship, listen, get this. Your fellowship with God is your survival. Oh, I hope you got that tonight. I hope you got that. Listen, without fellowship, and I'm not talking about getting to heaven, that's all based on relationship, that's a done deal. I'm talking about finishing our course, Brother Jeremy, running our race, finishing our course, Brother John, fighting the good fight of faith. If we're going to make it in that light, it's going to come through fellowship. How could Paul, being beaten, snake bit, I mean, listen, shipwrecked, you name it, brother, read it. It's in the Word of God, 2 Corinthians, was it chapter 11? He gives out the whole list of the perils that he went through. But how was it that he was able to, the Bible said, to finish his course with joy? You know why? Paul maintained a fellowship with God. Even as we read about it, Miss June, this morning, you testified about it in Acts 27, there where Paul, in the worst storm of his life, my friend, the Bible said, and after long abstinence. The storm was raging. It was dark. They hadn't seen stars or the moon or the sun in many days. But it didn't stop his spirituality. Storms do not stop spirituality. Paul maintained his fellowship with God in the storm because it is your survival. You can't make it without it. I mean, think about it. Think about it. Now, I'm about to say something all of us can relate to that are saved. Think about those times that you got out of fellowship with God. Look how fast you fail. Boom! It didn't take 2 weeks for you to wind up way down there. I mean, when you got out of fellowship with God, which keeps your head above water, keeps you afloat, keeps you above the situation and circumstances. When you get out of fellowship with God, guess what happens? Illustrated with Peter. When you get your eyes off of Jesus, your confidence and focus off of Him, guess what happens? And you begin to note the circumstances around you. You begin to sink. Immediately. I want to say it again. I'm about done. Fellowship is your survival. You want to make it? You want to make it? I didn't want to just start right. I want to finish right. Everybody in this building, you won't be known and remembered for how you started. You'll be known, Brother Chuck, and remembered how you finished. I want to finish right. Amen. One of the things that even just haunts my mind, that even haunts my mind is when I would even think about what would it be like? Just kindly, and the Lord would let me think about it some. just kind of what would the news be spreading throughout our known Christian world if they were to hear these words? Did you hear about Preacher Rackley? It grieves me to even think about it. Even just saying it like I'm saying it. It just, oh. Did you hear about Preacher Rackley? He failed in the sin. Whew. Oh Lord, that grieves me. Just think about it. You know what this says? This is the Bible that I preached my first message out of. And several after that. What if I fail? The shame. What about Miss Wanda? You've been our neighbor for several years. Evidently, she's got some confidence in us, or she wouldn't be here. I mean, she lives beside of me. Am I right? Had the privilege of leading her husband to the Lord. He got saved on Friday. Went down right before he went into surgery in Morristown. Talked to him about Jesus, and David got saved. Everybody's out of the room, just me and him. And he did business with God. And had Miss Wanda and the rest of them come in, and he told them all that he had gotten saved. Told the nurses and told his wife and everything, he got saved. Went into surgery. And that was on when now? It was on Friday. And I got a call Sunday night that David had died. Whew. 2 days from going to hell. Miss Wanda, how could I face you? How could I even go out my driveway to the mailbox and see you over in the yard if I was in a fallen state? How could I face you, Miss Debbie? Miss Creeka, how could I face you? You young girls that I'd just about pinch somebody's head off over. What would it do to you if your preacher blew it? I believe it would be more shame than I could bear. I don't think I could live. And where would I move to? I meet people all over this country that knows me that I've never met before. I want to finish right. I want to stay right. I want to finish right. But I know, Miss Donna, I know that my survival is my fellowship with God. I've had people that I've had fellowship with that's up and gone. And they broke off fellowship with me. Right. I've had people like that. But that's not my survival. I like that. Oh, and that's wonderful. I draw strength from that. But the core essential is that I have fellowship with God. Amen. If I can get with... And listen, our church has been through the storms. Some of you know what I'm talking about. We've been through storms. Thank God. Amen. Do you know how I made it? You know how I made it? My study. Getting in there in my study with the Word of God and having a time of fellowship with God and letting God refresh my soul. I believe I can testify that I am still here today in the fight because of fellowship with Jesus. Now let me go a little bit further on that. I'm still here today, Brother Stallard, because of the many times that I was stupid and made choices that injured my fellowship with God. I had a merciful God that pursued me. Oh, I can't tell you the times that I, out of fellowship with God, you said, preacher, you the preacher. Yeah, I'm testifying. I've been out of fellowship with God And it don't take much to get out of fellowship with God. I just tell you, it don't take long and it don't take much. Let me say this. Thank God for those times, my friend, that God, and I mean, listen, God would get in a bed with me when I'd be out of fellowship with Him. God knew Adam had sinned and Eve had sinned when He come. Adam! Where art thou? He knew. God knew the whole time that it was God that was taking the initiative to come. Why? He wanted to restore the fellowship. That's why 1 John 1:9 is in this chapter of fellowship. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Oh, hallelujah. I can't stand up here and blow my own whistle tonight. I'm telling you, I'm here because I have a God that's faithful when I am not faithful. Hallelujah.
Well, we'll have to just unhook right there. And I look forward if the Lord helps us and leads us to get in this chapter and just start right up in the chapter 1, verse 1, and break down this chapter and look at it in the light of fellowship. God's people better retain the fellowship. Listen, I'm trying to hush. Your fellowship with God is your spirituality. It's not how much Bible you read. You can read the Bible and be out of fellowship with God. Listen, your spirituality, Bible reading is essential. Got to have it. Listen, praying. You can pray and not be right with God. Your spirituality comes out of fellowship with God. See it? Amen. Our church, you know, we're talking about going to another level, Brother Jeremy, to another level, to another level. You know what will take us to another level? Fellowship. Fellowship's what brings elevation in the spiritual realm. Fellowship. Those people of years gone by that were so instrumental and so influential, they were people of fellowship with God. If you're much with God, God will be much with you. What a fellowship. What a privilege you and I have. Young people, tell me. You can explore. You can experiment. You can try everything the world has to offer. I want to tell you, you'll never find that which will content your soul. Until you, if you're not saved, one, get saved and have fellowship with God. Let me say something to you young people. Lord gave this to me, listen, today. You young people, listen. When you get up where you're getting interested in, you know, in the future, having a mate and all this. If you're relationship is not spiritual. I'm talking about with whoever might be that potential mate in your life. Listen to me. If your relationship is not spiritual, it will be physical. Because it is the flesh that wars against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary one to the other, that you would not do the things that you would. There's only one restraint to the flesh, and that's the Spirit. If your relationship is not spiritual, it will be fleshly. It will be physical. I'm concerned and I'm worried about anybody that has a relationship that is minus spirituality. Because I know there's only one thing that keeps the flesh in check, and that is your fellowship with God. And my friend, if it's not spiritual, it'll be physical. And if it's physical, it'll be sinful. And God will never bless it. Let's all stand our feet.
God bless you. Thank you for visiting Rogersville Baptist Temple's website and for listening to this message preached at Rogersville Baptist Temple.